Model Test 5
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. I'm so soaked from the rain. I'd go back to the room to change my clothes if there were enough time before the performance.
I could use a clothes dryer too, but I hate the idea of missing even a few minutes of this concert.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 12. Would it be better to buy a monthly meal ticket or pay for each meal separately?
What difference does it make? The price per meal is the same either way.
What does the woman mean? Question 13. Oh my goodness, I am almost despaired. I have added up these figures at least 6 times, but each time the result is different. Let's do the calculations once again.
Yes, but why don't we do them tomorrow? It's very late now, and you need to have a rest.
What does the woman suggest they do?
Question 14. Now you want to improve your English. If I were you, I'd study for 4 hours every night.
That's easier said than done. You see, I haven't got that much time to spare.
What do we learn about the man from the conversation?
Question 15. Look, this is my new bedroom. This is designed all by myself. How do you like the style I have arranged the furniture and put up the paintings?
It is fine, yet I think the walls could do better with some more lively paintings.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Question 16. Jeff has lots of good ideas. Do you think he'd be willing to come to the meeting?
Oh, I think he'll be glad to come. What'll be difficult is getting him to speak before a large crowd.
What does the woman imply about Jeff? Question 17. It is so great. I have never seen a more interesting movie than this one, and it inspired me a lot. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I don't want to lie to you that I almost fell asleep during the 2 hours in the theater.
How did the woman feel about the movie? Question 18. That new position requires a letter of recommendation. I guess the one Professor Alexander wrote for me last year should be fine, don't you think?
It is a little dated, though. You might need to submit a current one.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. Hello, I'm Jenny Johnson. How are you this morning?
Hello, Dr. Johnson. I can't say I'm feeling well. I have a pain and swelling in my knee.
What kind of pain is it?
It is a dull ache, but sometimes the pain is constant and disturbs my sleep.
How long have you been feeling pain in your knee?
For about 2 years. But recently I feel pain in my fingers.
Have you had any swelling in your fingers?
Yes, a little.
How about your wrist or toes?
No, only my knees and fingers. The pain becomes worse when the weather changes, like in cloudy or wet weather.
Okay, let me see your blood test report first.
How is it?
Not very bad.
Do I have to have an operation?
No, I don't think so. I'll prescribe some Chinese traditional medicine. Also, you need a treatment with rays below the red in the spectrum.
Do I have to come here every day for the treatment?
Not every day. Can you come 3 times a week? A course of treatment includes 20 times, so you have to come for the treatment 3 times a week for 7 weeks.
How long does each treatment take?
30 minutes.
Okay, I'll do that.
When you are at home, use these hot water pads as often as possible. Put it over your knees. Try to avoid using cold water.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What is the problem with the man?
Question 20. How does the woman treat the man's problem?
Question 21. What does the doctor suggest the man do at home?
Conversation 2.
Good morning, and welcome to today's program. Have you always wanted to invest, but didn't know where to get started? Today's show will help you with this problem. Very happily, we have Mr. Brown as our guest. Welcome to our program, Mr. Brown.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Mr. Brown, can you give us some suggestions on how to invest wisely?
Well, I think there are 3 basic guidelines to smart investment.
What are they?
Number 1 is to have clear goals. Decide how many years you will invest for and what your needs will be in the future.
I see. First, we should have a clear goal. That's definitely important. Then what is the second guideline?
Number two is to understand the range of possibilities. You'll want diversified investments. One with a mix of stocks, mutual funds, bonds, and cash. It's a jungle out there. Each of these products has different risks associated with them and also different potential rewards. Understand them before you buy, so there won't be any big surprises later.
That sounds quite reasonable. Well, what about the third guideline?
Finally, number three is to have realistic expectations. Keep this in mind. He who wishes to be rich in a day will be hanged in a year. You should invest for the long term since the stock market has both up and down years.
That's quite true. For example, over the past several years, New York stocks have averaged 30% annual returns. But this may not continue for long. Well, that's today's show. Thank you, Mr. Brown, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 22. What are the two speakers mainly talking about?
Question 23. What is the first guideline to smart investment?
Question 24. What should investors understand before they invest?
Question 25. What do we learn about the stock market from the conversation?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Learning a second language is never easy, and generally speaking, the older one is when one attempts a new language, the more difficult it becomes. This is at least partly due to what is known as language interference, meaning that the linguistic patterns of our first language interfere with those of the second, because no two languages have exactly the same sounds and grammatical structures. All languages have obligatory categories of grammar that may be lacking in other languages. Russian, unlike English, has an obligatory category for gender, which demands that a noun, and often a pronoun, specify whether it is masculine or feminine. Likewise, when translating an English story into Chinese, in which a character identified as cousin appears, a Chinese translator requires to know whether it refers to a male or a female, whether the character is older or younger than the speaker, and whether the character belongs to the family of the speaker's father or mother. Therefore, Biao Mei can be translated into English only by the awkward statement, "A female cousin on my mother's side and younger than I." The Russian English and Chinese English examples illustrate the basic problem in any translation. No matter how skilled translators, they cannot take the language out of the speech community that uses it. Translation obviously is not a simple two-way street between two languages. Rather, it is a busy intersection among at least two languages, with all of their peculiar characteristics. The cultures of the two speech communities and the speech situation in which the statement was uttered.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. Why is it difficult for older people to learn a new language?
Question 27. What is the characteristic of Russian different from English?
Question 28. Why is translation a difficult thing, according to the passage? Passage 2.
An allowance is an important tool for teaching kids how to budget, save, and make their own decisions. Children remember and learn from mistakes when their own dollars are lost or spent foolishly. How large an allowance is appropriate? Experts say there is no right amount. Actual amounts differ from region to region and from family to family. To set an appropriate allowance for your child, work up a weekly budget. Allow for entertainment expenditures such as movies and snacks. Next, include everyday expenses such as lunch money, bus fare, and school supplies. If you make the child responsible for these bills, says Josephine Swanson, a consumer specialist, he or she will learn to budget for necessary expenditures. Finally, add some money to make saving possible. If you can, keep your child's allowance in line with that of his friends. A child whose purchasing power falls away below his peers can feel left out. It can be tough, but avoid excusing your children when they made a mistake with their allowance. When Brooke Stevens was 10, her mother gave her $5 a week, $1.75 of which was for bus fare and lunch. One week the girl spent all her allowance in a candy store. Then she called home for a ride. Mom made me walk home, recalls Stevens, now a financial planner in Brooklyn. At first I was angry, but I realized that she was trying to teach me an important lesson. Experts advise that an allowance should not be tied directly to a child's daily housework. Kids should help around the house not because they get paid for it, but because they share responsibilities as members of a family. You might, however, pay a child for doing extra jobs at home, which can develop his or her initiative.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. What can be inferred from the passage about a child's allowance?
Question 30. Why does the author mention Brooke Stevens?
Question 31. What does the author imply in the passage? Passage 3.
Play is the principal business of children. And more in recent years, research has shown the great importance of play in the development of a human being. From earliest infancy, every child needs an opportunity and the right materials for play. And the main tools of play are toys. Their main function is to suggest, encourage, and assist play. Therefore, it is important to choose suitable toys for different stages of a child's development. In recent years, research on infant development has shown the standard a child is likely to reach within the range of his inherited abilities is largely determined in the first 3 years of his life. So a baby's ability to profit from the right play materials should not be underestimated. A baby who is encouraged and stimulated, talked to and shown things, and played with, has the best chance of growing up successfully. The next stage, from 3 to 5 years old, curiosity knows no bounds. Every type of suitable toy should be made available to the child for trying out, experimenting, and learning, for discovering his own particular ability. Bricks and construction toys, painting and making things, sand and water play, toys for imaginative and pretending play, the first social games for learning to play and get on with others. By the third stage of play development, from 5 to 7 or 8 years, the child is at school. But for a few more years, play is still the best way of learning, at home or at school. It is easier now to see which type of toys the child most enjoys.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. What is the main function of toys?
Question 33. Why is it said the first 3 years of one's life are important?
Question 34. What do children at ages 3 to 5 like doing?
Question 35. What does the passage mainly discuss?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Daphne Edwards Zimmern is one of the famous mothers in American history. She is the mother of an adopted child for whom she had fought in the court. This lady is indeed doing a noble job. She has tried all she can to add some spark in the life of orphan kids who are deprived of the warm shelter of parenthood. She has been continuously striving hard for the rights of children everywhere. The life of Daphne Zimmern is so motivating
that what she has done for children greatly moves the American people. What's more, her story inspires others to do something for the well-being of society. Daphne Edwards Zimmern once said, "Freedom, shelter, health and nourishment are the rights of every child, and my commitment to children is my entire life." As a matter of fact, many instances in the history of Daphne Edwards Zimmern show that she has truly dedicated her life in advocating for kids. Her aim of life is to educate people that they should get more involved with children and that they should make an attempt to become the child's advisor, guide, and philosopher. It was in the year 1966 when Daphne Zimmern established Children Uniting Nations that works for the welfare of children. For her excellent work, she was awarded with the Triumph of the Spirit Award. This mother truly deserves applause, not for what she did for her own child, but also for many other children to whom she has given a new ray of hope. May God bless this great lady, who lives for others and strives to bring a smile on the children's faces.
Now the passage will be read again.
Daphne Edwards Zimmern is one of the famous mothers in American history. She is the mother of an adopted child for whom she had fought in the court. This lady is indeed doing a noble job. She has tried all she can to add some spark in the life of orphan kids who are deprived of the warm shelter of parenthood. She has been continuously striving hard for the rights of children everywhere. The life of Daphne Zimmern is so motivating that what she has done for children greatly moves the American people. What's more, her story inspires others to do something for the well-being of society. Daphne Edwards Zimmern once said, "Freedom, shelter, health and nourishment are the rights of every child, and my commitment to children is my entire life." As a matter of fact, many instances in the history of Daphne Edwards Zimmern show that she has truly dedicated her life in advocating for kids. Her aim of life is to educate people that they should get more involved with children and that they should make an attempt to become the child's advisor, guide, and philosopher. It was in the year 1966 when Daphne Zimmern established Children Uniting Nations that works for the welfare of children. For her excellent work, she was awarded with the Triumph of the Spirit Award. This mother truly deserves applause, not for what she did for her own child, but also for many other children. To whom she has given a new ray of hope. May God bless this great lady, who lives for others and strives to bring a smile on the children's faces.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Daphne Edwards Zimmern is one of the famous mothers in American history. She is the mother of an adopted child for whom she had fought in the court. This lady is indeed doing a noble job. She has tried all she can to add some spark in the life of orphan kids who are deprived of the warm shelter of parenthood. She has been continuously striving hard for the rights of children everywhere. The life of Daphne Zimmern is so motivating that what she has done for children greatly moves the American people. What's more, her story inspires others to do something for the well-being of society. Daphne Edwards Zimmern once said, "Freedom, shelter, health, and nourishment are the rights of every child, and my commitment to children is my entire life." As a matter of fact, many instances in the history of Daphne Edwards Zimmern show that she has truly dedicated her life in advocating for kids. Her aim of life is to educate people that they should get more involved with children, and that they should make an attempt to become the child's advisor, guide, and philosopher. It was in the year 1966 when Daphne Zimmern established Children Uniting Nations that works for the welfare of children. For her excellent work, she was awarded with the Triumph of the Spirit Award. This mother truly deserves applause, not for what she did for her own child, but also for many other children to whom she has given a new ray of hope. May God bless this great lady, who lives for others and strives to bring a smile on the children's faces.
This is the end of listening comprehension.